Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Oh, people at home!
Let me talk to you.
Come get the guns, the drugs from my generation. And it's a sin. The guns, the fiends, the fraud, the messing with me. Come on.
Are you ready?
You just made the list.
Enough is enough, and it's time for a change.
If I can be serious for a minute, for the love of God, stay away from the people.
Acknowledge me.
Juice, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the DWI podcast. My name is PC Tunney, and I am the artist formerly known as Pizza Funny, and I am joined, as always, by the man, the myth, the legend, the other half of the world's greatest tag team never. That would be DPP.
Oh, and it's a rare week this week, PC Tunney, because we're recording on a Friday.
Like the old days.
Different. Well, and the biggest difference, that means there's a drink in my hand.
Hey, ring the bell.
Dylan and I went out to lunch.
I just found the title. DP's drinking. Hey. Done.
Yeah. Didn't take long.
No.
Right off the bat. What are we, 2 minutes in?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. You went to lunch? Where'd you go?
Dylan and I went to lunch today. We went to El Dorado. Had ourselves, nice.
You're over by me.
Yeah. Right over by you there by the consumer beverage. Had ourselves some margaritas, a little Mexican food. And then, Sister DPP was out over there at the corner club. So we went over there and said hi. I had two over there just before the podcast. And here we are.
Here we are indeed, folks. So yeah, you had a pot is war yesterday. You'll have that on Friday morning. You got DWI this Saturday morning, and then that means Mindless will get moved to Sunday. Sorry, guys, but that's the way it works. When you run
the
network,
cookie crumbles.
When you run the network, you do whatever the fuck you want. No, it's not a big deal. The pay-per-view isn't till Sunday night anyway. So, but that's what we're going to do. Why don't we do this? Why don't we let everybody know what we're doing this week on the 483rd edition of the podcast known as DWI?
Well, we're waiting.
Well, it's the big show.
I mean, fairly self-explanatory today. Big wrestling weekend. What is the NXT show Saturday afternoon?
Is it the Stand and Deliver? Great American Bash.
It's July.
It's Great American Bash.
Yeah, Stand and Deliver is their WrestleMania pay-per-view, isn't it?
Yeah.
Dumbass. Oh, sorry, did I say that all loud?
Yeah. Did you say that? Where's the soundbite?
I'm working right now. I'm not even looking at you. I'm working right now, so I don't have to work after the show.
Yeah.
I'm working on getting everything except for putting the sound in, and I think we're good. I got it all. All right. And hi, I'm back. No, but Saturday night's main event.
Yeah, it's a full weekend of
Evolution.
Wrestling.
We're going to see Superman tomorrow, DP.
Yeah. A lunchtime Superman. That's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, we should have a good time.
I've seen both kinds of reviews on it. But I haven't seen any spoilers because that's what I try to avoid. So I'm looking forward to just sitting down and enjoying some Superman. I think it's going to be good.
I can't imagine it won't be good, at the very least good. So I'm going to enjoy it. It's just over 210, 215 runtime, which is okay. Perfect. That's about the max that I want. But I'm looking forward to it. Going in 3D. Sop and his daughter are going.
What is Dillinator? 3D?
Yep, Dillinator's going. Tunny's mom is going.
Oh, Mother Tunny.
So we'll have a good time. But before we get into all this wrestling, DP, why don't we take a quick commercial break? Everybody, you're listening to the DWI podcast, number 483, Don't Drink and Drive, Drinking Podcast. We'll be right back after this.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome back, DWI Podcast number 483. Let's get into it. Saturday night's main event. I really love these Saturday night's main events. You know, it's just like a nice, brief, well-put-together two-hour spot. You got four matches. You got Solo defending his newly crowned United States Championship against another family member, this time Jimmy Uso. We got Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre, LA Knight versus Seth Rollins, and the main event, Goldberg's retirement match for the World Heavyweight Championship against the defending title holder, Gunther. Looking forward to Saturday night, DP?
Yeah, the Saturday night main events are always fun. It's kind of like a low-key. It's not necessarily a pay-per-view. It's just it's a fun handful of matches that you can watch on primetime. It's great. I've loved them since I was a kid too. So these are always just really fun shows to have that get some primetime regular TV exposure to these guys without getting too crazy with the pay-per-view. I love them.
Well, Goldberg's perfect here for this spot, right? It's on NBC. It's free. So you're going to get some of these people that haven't really been into it for 20 plus years that were pretty goddamn into it in the late 90s and very, very early 2000s, that people back then that were our age, that were in high school and college and maybe in their, you know, mid to late 20s, now are in their 40s and 50s and probably haven't watched it, but they see, oh, fucking Goldberg, really? Oh, all right, yeah, Saturday night, NBC, sure, what the hell? So my buddy at work, Randy, he's in his 60s. I said, you got to watch wrestling tomorrow night. He's, come on. I said, it's free, NBC, Saturday night's main event. He goes, oh, they brought that back. I go, your buddy Goldberg's wrestling. He goes, who's got to show up then and kick his ass? Stone Cold. I said, I don't think that's going to happen, but I like where your head's at, buddy. So you do have these casual fans that know of these bigger names. And that's where you had to find a value in a Goldberg here or a Trish Stratus on Sunday we'll get to, right?
That too, yeah. This is the perfect opportunity to put that kind of name on a product when you have it for free here, or, you know, when you talk about those like Saudi shows and stuff where you put a name that's been around forever. And like you just said, people like that will recognize it and go, hey, maybe I'll turn on the TV and check it out, you know, and next thing you know, they're back into it because the product's great. The show's great. Wrestling's great. And you just need to get back into it, you know, and then these kind of names do that for those kind of people who have turned away from it for a while because of whatever reason, you know, life.
right. And I mean, the product hasn't been the greatest for the last consistently. It's been solid. It's been at least near good at its worst, but it hasn't been absolutely great from 2002 till about the pandemic. There were some ups and downs in there.
Sure.
Let's get into the card. Let's start with the other championship match, though, first. There's really no way Jimmy's going to take this title from Solo, right?
I don't think so at this point, no. I mean, I guess I shouldn't say no because, you know, we thought the same thing with Jacob Fatu, but
I think at this point, you know, after they did the move here, Solo Sikoa seems like the person that makes sense to hold it with the whole, you know, if they're going to continue kind of this bloodline feud or faction feud or whatever you want to call it. I can't remember what they did. They name the Solos group yet? I think they were talking about it.
I don't know, but they named it like the they named Seth Rollins' stupid fucking group the Empire. What the fuck is that? How is it an empire?
What? Who created an empire?
What empire is it? And how has it become? It's that you just started. You're three guys and a fat guy. There's a title. Son of a bitch. I'm lazy. I'm too lazy. I'm not changing it. Anyway, go back to the other
Wait,
one.
George,
sorry.
What are you talking about? Yeah, Heyman or?
Heyman, yeah. Well, Bronson Reed can move. I mean,
that's true. Heyman can't really.
Bronson Reed doesn't look as big next to his cohorts, though. Seth and Braun do not help him out, making him look like a monster. He looks small compared to them.
He's not a He's for as big as he is, he's in shape. He's he can move, man.
Right.
He's not a fat guy. He's just a big dude.
He did slim down while he was out, though.
Yeah, yeah. I think that for his sake, I think that makes him better as an athlete and everything else too. So it's a good thing.
His joints and everything else too is smart. If he wants to be, you know, last a little longer, but all right, let's go back to the other thing we're talking about.
Yeah.
Any chance? There's no way Jimmy comes away with this. I don't think I'd be happy.
No,
for him,
I think this is, that would be cool and everything, but I don't think it's happening here. I think we'll get a lot of shenanigans. We'll get a lot of run-ins. We're going to get, you know, I think this is just building towards, you know, Jimmy and Jay and whoever else, Jacob Fatu, kind of getting back together and making
Roman maybe too,
you know, a little bit of a, maybe
Civil
Roman's
War,
coming back
Civil War
there,
games too.
Somewhere.
Civil War games too.
Yeah.
Why not?
I think that's exactly where I think it's heading. It's not, you know, here and you know, we're just kind of heading. This is the beginning of the road to get to that. You know, and it's just going to be a lot of people in this match, a lot of shenanigans, a lot of run-ins. I think it's going to be a fun match because anytime you get these guys together, this group, it's always entertaining and, you know, always just a pile of people.
Do you see Roman come back and help out Jimmy maybe some form or fashion here and gets the W? Because Roman is supposed to be at SummerSlam. And we got, like, we're recording on the 11th, so you got 3 weeks and a day till SummerSlam, by the way.
It's fast. It's coming up quick, man.
August 2nd.
Yeah. I don't think we see him come back to make a save here. Well, it could be maybe, but
depends on what they're going to do.
I see him.
Who's he going to come back?
I see
he's in a program with.
Yeah, and I don't know. Well, I don't think it'll be. So I think he's got to help. He's got to be part of this whole group and this whole story. You know, but he's also built into the Seth Rollins and everything, which they could eventually get to as they build him back in. So I think him helping, you know, Jimmy and Jay and Jacob Fatu at some point would be perfect. And if he's coming back for SummerSlam, I think he makes his return maybe on SmackDown
or whatever.
Rather, yeah. But I don't think he'd help. I think they could drag it out a little bit more, as in they need somebody to help, you know, even out the odds, because they keep overtaking them. And maybe it's, you know, he doesn't show up here, but he shows up soon enough to go like, hey, here's our guy to even the score.
Do we get Roman and Cena at any point? Roman taking it
time.
Off of him?
We got time. I'd be down for that at the end of the year.
Roman takes it off of him and Seth cashes in on Roman.
You think they wait that long?
I don't know. I really didn't know. John could lose to Cody at SummerSlam. Who the fuck knows, you know?
It's true.
All right. Back to the card. Randy Orton, Drew McIntyre. This should just be a really good wrestling match.
Yeah, it's going to be. I think this is kind of the spotlight match of the night here. These two guys are going to have a lot of fun together. Two great wrestlers. I think they'll be the hard-hitting match of the night. I'm just happy to see Drew McIntyre kind of back and getting back into the swing of things here. This is going to be a lot of fun.
LA Knight and Seth Rollins. Like, LA Knight's still super fucking over. Like, the close of Raw, oh my god, those people were going crazy for LA Knight.
Yeah, it's kind of insane. Like, they seem like at some points they want to pull the trigger on him and then kind of don't, but yet the crowd still fucking loves him, and they keep trying. I think they just keep trying to find a way to fit him in
because he's so popular. Finding it hard, right?
To do.
Yeah, like they don't want to, yeah. But they have to because he's so fucking getting so much run. I don't know. It's crazy, right? It's like there's two belts and we still can't get everybody a championship that deserves one. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, look at Jay. I'll bet you, I would bet on the fact that he'll never hold a world championship ever again. That was it.
We talked about that a couple weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. And then the problem too is though, then you play hot potato with it. And then people are like, oh, that transition champion, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like, well, then pick, what do you want? Mick Foley, the greatest transition champion of fucking all time. You know, I mean, well, somebody's got to do it so it means something.
Oh, yeah. Or you give three years of Roman Reigns holding the title and everybody's like, Jesus fucking Christ, right. He's holding the title.
And I'm over here going, he should have had the belt for another year and a half.
Right? Like, give him 5 years. Like, it was fucking great. That was a great, I mean, the whole Bloodline shit, that was phenomenal.
It should have been one more year because he should have faced Rock and then he could have lost it to Cody this last year and whatever. Or he might have lost it to John then this last year, and then Cody would have finally beaten. Yeah, it could have been a whole different thing. You know, different. It's fine the way it was. It's fine. Everything's fine. Don't ignore the flames around me. Seth Rollins cash in at all tonight? Or Saturday night?
So, I know we've been talking about that for a couple weeks.
Yeah, let's talk about the main event, right, first, because that's kind of it. Like,
yeah.
Do you have Gunther retaining?
I do. I have Gunther retaining.
We're not picking this, by the way. The chair shot staff. Staff picks are for WWE PLEs. There will be a staff picks article this weekend, but for Evolution.
Very good. Okay. I've got Gunther. I know I've been talking about it for a little while here and saying Goldberg's going to win this thing and then Seth Rollins is going to cash in on Goldberg
and take the title. We've both been saying that. We both started that sentiment, I think, the same week, however many weeks ago. And I think I'm going to stick with it.
Okay. The only reason I'm changing my tune is CM Punk. And the whole CM Punk Gunther interaction kind of leads me to believe that we're getting CM Punk versus Gunther at SummerSlam.
Maybe.
And if we're getting that, then I feel like Seth Rollins is going to screw CM Punk at SummerSlam and take the title there.
Probably. I mean, maybe Seth screws Goldberg too by coming out. Like, Goldberg's about to win and then Seth comes out and then it causes, you know, like, that could be a way to have Goldberg not lose. I don't know. Maybe it's just a fucking...
Me too.
How long do you think this match goes?
3 minutes and 34 seconds. That's your over-under.
It's going to be interesting. Well, I mean, Gunther could put him in a sleeper hold for 5 minutes if he wanted to. I don't know. I don't know what to expect here. It's either going to be really good or it's going to be really bad. That's my only prediction. I would like to see Goldberg win and get cashed in. I think it'd be really cool. I think what you're saying is probably more likely. We'll probably find reality landing somewhere in the middle. But overall, it's fun. It's a fun little card. It should be a fun Saturday night.
Oh, it's going to be great. These shows always deliver really well. I mean, they're produced fantastic, and they're just a fun show that you watch on prime time.
Exactly. All right, folks, here's what we're going to do now. We're going to take that middle of the show break, and when we come back, it's just all us until the end of the shoot. But for now, I want to tell you about prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Check it out. Plenty of great t-shirt designs. Get it in long sleeve. Get it in no sleeves. Get it in soft style. You can even get it in a hoodie. That's prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome back, DPP, PC Tony, right here, DWI 483. Don't drink and drive. Drinking podcast. For the second time ever, we're having the all-female WWE Evolution pay-per-view, and I couldn't be happier. I'm really looking forward to what looks to be an excellent card. We've got the Women's Battle Royal. We've got that NXT Championship being defended by JC Jane against Jordynne Grace. Jade and Naomi, which I believe is a street fight, right, or something like that?
No holds barred, yep.
Same thing.
Same.
Tiffany Stratton versus Trish Stratus for that WWE Women's title. Becky defending in a triple threat against Lyra and Bayley, which I think that's going to be a banger. Another one I think is going to be really good, the Fatal 4-Way. Is it elimination or not?
It's a Fatal 4-Way. Usually means elimination. Winner take all. It's not elimination. Okay. So
they usually put that in there if it is. But Charlotte and Alexa Bliss are teaming up. Zarya and Sol Roca have been teaming up a lot. I know that. And the Kabuki Warriors are back together, all to take on the defending champs, Roxanne Perez, standing in for Liv Morgan, Freebird Rules style, while she's out on injury, and Raquel Rodriguez. And then what I would imagine is your main event, Io Sky defending the Women's World Championship against who I believe is the best women's wrestler in the world, Rhea Ripley.
It's a pretty solid card there. I mean, yeah. Championship matches galore. Probably what's going to be a really fun battle royal with maybe some surprise participants from yesteryear coming back. So just a lot of fun up and down the card here, I think.
Yeah.
And the smart thing of the Fatal 4-Way, I mean, the Fatal 4-Way tag match is huge. We talked about that too, that's a really smart thing to do. I think to have four teams from all the different brands getting together for a tag match, because we don't get that like we should. And I think the whole Liv Morgan getting injured might have changed that storyline, because of Nikki Bella, you know, possibly coming back and doing some kind of tag team title match. So I think it, all in all, I think that worked out much better in the long run.
Agreed. Well, let's get to the card here. Let's start. Let's get in the order that they're going to be on the staff picks. And you guys can see whether or not I predicted the order of the card correctly or not. Little pull back the curtain there. That's kind of how I do it. That's how I feel I would put the card on. And I always like to see the difference in the booking of the matches. So me, I would start it out with the Women's Battle Royal, DP. And I think there's a really good chance it's Nikki Bella.
I think it's almost 100% chance that Nikki Bella wins this thing. I mean, I don't know who, I guess I haven't paid attention enough to know who else is in it at this point. If they've announced it, but
Stephanie Vaquer, Ivy Nile, Nia Jax, Nikki Bella, Natalia, Maxine Dupree, Kehlani Jordan, Jada Parker, Lola Vice, Lash Legend, Izzy Dame, Tatum Paxley, Zelina Vega, Julia, Candice LeRae. So that's 15 announced. I'll bet you they get to 20, so there's five more likely.
That makes sense. I'm guessing.
Like, out of those people I just listed, like, the winner gets a WWE shot at Clash in Paris, a title match, world title match, or WWE title match. Like, this is easily selling Nikki Bella to Paris for Clash in Paris, right? This is a no-brainer.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I could see, you know, them giving it to somebody else potentially, but I mean, you know, with Nikki Bella coming back and them, they've been talking about
you know, her sticking around for a little bit and having kind of a little bit of a run. I mean, it makes a whole lot of sense for her to win this and get a title match and have it at Clash of Paris is fantastic. You know, the overseas PLEs are phenomenal. And to have, again, you know, just like we kind of talked about, have a name that's synonymous with the WWE in a certain era, headlining that for a women's championship match makes a whole hell of a lot of sense. I mean, there's certainly a couple of them that could win that and have the title match and maybe deserve a title match. But I mean, when you're kind of touting the Bellas returning, whether it's both or at least just Nikki at this point, I mean, it makes a whole lot of sense for her to win this thing and get a prominent title match very soon here in the future and be in that forefront of the women's division
for
while
sure.
She's back.
Yeah. You said it perfectly there. Couldn't agree more. It's almost like they decided to do this specifically for her.
Yeah. And that's, you know, like I was saying at the beginning there, like Liv Morgan getting injured, because I think they were initially talking about having the Bellas come back and have a tag title match or something with them, you know, with Liv and Raquel. I think, you know, that was like one of kind of a good thing that came out of the injury is both that they are coming up with this fatal four-way tag match, because I think that's way better for the tag team division. But then having Nikki Bella go into this battle royal and get an opportunity at a title shot, to me, makes a lot more sense than what they might have been trying to do at the beginning.
Right. Sometimes, you know, you just get these happy accidents. So.
Are you Bob Ross?
Yeah. Just put a little bush over here. And you never know. It might become a tree. JC Jane defending the NXT championship against Jordynne Grace DP. I kind of feel like we're setting up Jordynne Grace here to take this over. I mean, I think she'd probably be storyline wise defended against Slamovich in a TNA show maybe or something like that if they're going to do a little crossover. So I like Jordynne Grace here.
Yeah, so do I. I'm unfortunately, I don't follow NXT as well as I used to, but you know, Jordynne Grace obviously has been huge on the scene ever since she came over from TNA. And I think they want to put the title on her sooner than later too. And yeah, it makes sense, like you're saying, to have that crossover as well if they want to do it, because the TNA audience knows her quite well, obviously. So I think it does make a lot of sense for her to take this title and you know, continue that kind of that relationship and build her name bigger in NXT as she kind of continues her rise in the WWE platform.
Yeah, 100%. And JC Jane's going to be fine. She's a heck of a competitor. I think she's got a future on the main roster.
Yeah, for sure. They got, I mean, the talent they have in NXT, especially in the women's division, is ridiculous. So, yeah, it's, there's going to be no shortage of that or no worries that any of them would lose any kind of steam, you know, that way.
Breaking news, folks. We have a run-in. I said it may or may not happen, but it has happened. None other than DP, go ahead, play it. Dave Ungar joins the DWI podcast. Welcome to the 483rd edition, Dave Ungar. How are you?
Pretty good. Can you guys actually hear me?
100%.
All right. I couldn't. DP, I got to work with you on some of these settings because I couldn't hear Queen. Queen was a little muffled there, so I'm sure there's an AI setting. You can't muffle Queen. That's a problem.
That sounds like a title as well.
I've already
2 minutes into the show. Queen.
I've already fucking got it. I'm not. No. Sorry. You want to? Yeah, and you're not post to the show, so you just did have to deal with it.
It's already locked in.
Yeah, it's already locked in. But Dave, welcome. We've gone through Saturday night's main event. We just started getting to the Evolution card. Before we continue on the Evolution card, any quick thoughts from Saturday night's main event? Mainly probably Gunther and Goldberg.
Yeah.
Goldberg.
Gunther versus Walter. There's an episode title.
Do you think Goldberg has a chance at winning? And do you think there could be a cash in on Saturday night?
Yes and yes. I mean, you asked, is there a chance? Sure. There's a chance Goldberg could win because it's I say that, but at the same time, I don't give it much of a chance. It's his last match, or at least, well, I mean, but see, that's the thing. He's advertising it. It's his last match. And Goldberg's old school enough that he would go out on his back and put Gunther over. But if they're running a different sort of angle, like you guys are saying, or suggesting or postulating that, you know, there's going to be a cash in, then sure, that changes the stakes entirely. And you get to the point where, yeah, Gunther could, or Goldberg could get the win. Wait, I've said him twice.
I'm just not going to play it today. We threw his name like seven times. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, okay. We can't just keep playing Goldberg's theme. Oh shit. There it is. The third time. No.
We'll probably play it next week when we like kind of review this past weekend as like a goodbye, you know?
Yeah.
Just going to play it quietly behind the entire episode.
I mean, I did some shit to my computer. I'm not even sure if it works in here anymore. So
1 hour of Goldberg.
It works.
Let's see.
There it is.
Yeah, I got to figure out why the music's muffled on my end. So that sounds like a DP sort of a
query. I think that's in your team settings. You got to turn the you got to turn noise suppression off in team settings.
Now you're going to make me look for this shit. Anyway, what else is going on Saturday night?
Besides Goldberg and Gunther?
Yeah. Is there anything else happening on SNN Saturday night's main event?
There's four matches, and I already took the card down. Solo's defending against Jimmy.
Jimmy?
Yeah, go ahead, Dan.
Randy Orton versus Drew McIntyre and LA Knight versus Seth Rollins.
LA Knight versus Seth Rollins is the most intriguing match, I think, because there's LA Knight almost has to win this, doesn't he? I mean, the way I'm looking at it is like, well, he doesn't have to, but probably not a bad idea to give him a marquee win over a guy like Seth.
Yeah.
Seth has got that briefcase, so yeah. So at any time, it really, you know, Seth writes his own ticket.
No.
There you go. So I like LA Knight in that one. Solo's retaining the championship. Randy and Drew. I mean, there's a rivalry renewed. Probably Drew. I would lean a little bit in his direction.
Did he already record the movie he's going to be in, or is he going away to record that movie this fall?
Randy?
No, Drew.
I thought he already did it. I thought they wrapped shooting early, which is why he came back a little sooner.
Okay. That makes sense. Then, yeah, he's got to be in position to have some kind of big push going into through Rumble.
I would think so.
But we'll see.
And then guess.
What was the other match, too, Dan? The third one there?
You nailed them all. Solo and Jimmy, Orton and McIntyre, Knight and Rollins.
Oh, okay. Yep, we got them all there.
Nailed them all.
Okay. Well, here, let's go back here. We a couple matches. Oh, is it, are you on the, I haven't read anybody's predictions yet. The staff picks, probably, I don't know if I'll do it tomorrow.
Well, because I was late and you were yelling at me in the
you
chat.
You were not late. You're fine. Everybody's fine. But I was like, you know, you guys are really starting to like, I had to get it. DP, you go in the chat and see, I had to kind of like, I had to play dad this morning. I was like, listen, guys, I don't do this for me.
What are we, three PLEs in?
It's a progressive commercial. Tony's turning into his dad.
Here's the problem, though. Like, if I don't continually get the same 11 people, the chair shot staff pick, which is 20, if we weren't 22-6 as a collective, I really wouldn't fucking care. But I'd like to see a whole year of PLEs for us and see how we do. And the start we've had between WrestleMania, Backlash, Money in the Bank, 22-6 predicting these matches is pretty fucking crazy when you take a vote from 11 people and see who the winner is going to be. So anyway, keep that going. There's a good plug for that right there. Anyway.
I turned off my noise suppression, so I got to do this, Tony. Goldberg, Goldberg, Goldberg.
Okay.
Just to trigger this. That's still not it.
Okay, well, then you got bigger problems.
It's something.
You're gonna have to get DP like a Forever 21 gift card and, you know, borrow them for a dollar or something.
Sure. Yeah. I'll get you a Ulta Beauty gift card, Dan. Is that okay?
There we go.
Are you on board with everybody else, Dave, that it's Nikki Bella for the Battle Royal?
No, I think I picked Stephanie Vaccour
to
win.
Okay.
Yeah, I like if what happens at the end holds true, and doesn't this person get a title shot? Yes. Isn't that the idea?
At Clash.
Then I like Steph going to Clash against Rhea. If that's how it's that's why I picked Stephanie. I mean, I like the Nikki Bella pick. If there's any place you're going to get AJ Lee and Paige, it's here during this match. That's for sure. But I think, what's the best match you can put on in Paris? Well, I mean, you could do Steph versus Rhea at SummerSlam as well, but Paris comes up first, I'm guessing, before SummerSlam.
No, SummerSlam's in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I think August 31st.
It's too late for me to change now. I like Steph to win. Julia's got the United States Championship. She's going to do tremendous things with that. Stephanie Vaccour is the other half of that, you know, the next batch of up and coming people who are going to come in and do this. So that's why I went with Steph, but I do like the Nikki Bella call. I mean, that's not bad. I'm really, really hoping we get Paige and or AJ Lee in the Rumble, the Battle Royal. I think people would lose their mind, and it's Evolution 2. You want to make a mark on this thing.
Well, Paige is inevitable, right? Paige is inevitable, right? She's not under contract with AEW.
She's not. She's being very coy. She's being kind of coy and cheeky about the whole thing.
She's basically like a little sister to The Rock because they did her movie together.
And Punk's been doing, there's been some, interesting AJ Lee centric stuff going up on WWE lately, and you know when they do that, there's usually a reason for it.
I don't know. I feel like AJ just doesn't want to come back. Like she just doesn't want to come back. I don't know. I heard
not permanently for something like this would be okay.
Let me throw another name out there at you that I heard in the tea leaves rumblings. Gail Kim.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, that'd be great.
With the change,
Gail Kim would be,
because you know the different people running things now with more respect, the proper amount of respect. That would be amazing, right? I mean, that would be. I think true hardcore wrestling fans over the last 30 years, that'd be their biggest pop on Sunday.
Right, and I mean, I know it's going to be a Battle Royal and not a Royal Rumble, so it's like, well, who else could be in the match? You know, Lita's probably going to be there. I would imagine she's going to be one of the people involved. Maybe get Mickie James in there. She's been so heavily involved with, what, LFG, right? So, yeah. You know, that sort of stuff.
Do you know how many people they're supposed to have in it?
I'm guessing 20.
Okay, they got. That's a guess. There's 15 announced, 15. So DP and I were thinking there's 5 spots there, so we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Nikki, Paige, AJ Lee. That leaves us with 2. Oh, Nikki's been announced? Okay, Nikki. All right. Well,
yeah. Paige, AJ, Gail Kim, Mickie James, and Mae Young.
Shawn McCool.
Not Mae Young. Mae Young would be a neat trick.
Mae Young's hand.
Yeah.
Now it looks like Hamburger Helper. Yeah.
Oh, God. All right. That's my fault. This is my fault.
The one individual who I don't think she's ready to come back, but if it's close enough, Bianca Belair would be somebody who hasn't been announced, who's getting closer to being able to come back from that broken wrist I think she had. She could be a wild card. If she gets in, she's a good bet to win this thing. I don't know if she's exactly ready, but she's a possibility.
What about the NXT Women's Championship, Dave? JC Jane defending against Jordynne Grace.
That's Jordynne Grace. We talked about it on the last episode of Big Five Project when we were talking about this. It's got to be Jordynne Grace. She's way overdue. They should have put the belt on her when they knew Stephanie was getting called up. Why they transitioned it to JC, not sure, other than they wanted to create some unnecessary drama. But I think This is Jordan's time. She should win that match.
All right. Now we're back to where we were. So we'll get DP's thoughts second, as the title is apropos. DP's drinking. We're recording on a Friday. DP's drinking. We got Big Dave here in the house, best friend. And Jade Cargill against Naomi in a no-holds-barred match, Dave.
Yeah. The comment I made to you in the pick is that I think Jade wins this. I think Naomi gets the last laugh. It's just not tonight, or not at Evolution. That's my thought on this thing. She's going to do a cash-in probably after Jade beats Tiffy for the championship at SummerSlam, or Tiffy beats Jade, whatever the other. I'd like to see Naomi win this, but I think they're holding that big moment back where she finally gets a win over Jade. They want to hold it back for the cash in. They want to do that, you know, the most dramatic effect possible, which would be cashing it on Jade to Jade wins the title and gets it yanked right away from her. It'll piss some people off, but it's great storytelling. So I've got Jade winning this match. And I think, yeah, Naomi's moment over Jade is coming soon, but not here.
Yeah, I think this is a little more long-term storyline telling here to start this. Well, I guess to continue this, because it's been going on for a while. You mentioned Bianca Belair, too. I think if you're thinking Bianca's going to come back, I think it'd be more here than it would be in the Battle Royal, because obviously she's built into this story. I would love to see her turn heel on this as well. That'd be awesome. I don't think we're going to see her here. I think you're more right on, Dave, where Jade's going to get this win here because she's the contender at SummerSlam. So I think she needs to have the win here to build that into SummerSlam. And I do think you're right on here as well, because I think Jade wins at SummerSlam and Naomi cashes in on her right off the top of it and strips the title away from her immediately, because that's a huge heel move and would continue that story on even more. And I think that's kind of where maybe Bianca gets involved and we continue that story a little bit further, because I do think they should have had that triple threat at WrestleMania last year or this year, but we didn't get it. I'm still on board with you. I think Jade wins this here and Naomi gets her revenge later at SummerSlam when she can cash in and kind of take that opportunity away from Jade.
This has to be a Jade win. She's going to be, challenging at SummerSlam. Like, it's not like she's set to challenge at, Saturday Night's Main Event or Clash or something. Like, this is like WrestleMania B. She's set to main event for her, the women's side, basically one of the two best matches they have all weekend. So it's really not wise. And Naomi's Teflon because she's a heel and she has the briefcase, right? And what you guys are saying about Bianca, yeah, at some point this triangle is going to be very entertaining to watch as they matriculate towards a main event match, probably at WrestleMania, would be beautiful. Like, there's a possibility if Jade could get her shit together between now and WrestleMania that match could headline night one. Because Hunter said, it just has to be good enough. That's the bottom line. And since they've had a main event, like a female main event WrestleMania night one, there hasn't really been a female match to put in that slot that's been better than the guys match that they've put in that first night slot.
Yeah, they have not had a Rousey, Becky Lynch, Charlotte, any kind of feud or anything that's been lived up to enough hype to put it in that.
Yeah, the closest was what? Rhea and maybe Charlotte or Asuka and...
Yeah. Maybe Rhea, Charlotte, whatever, a year ago or whatever, a couple years ago, but storyline-wise, it just, I don't know, hasn't...
Yeah.
None of them have really gotten to that level.
Dave, you got Trishy turning back time and beating Tiffy?
Oh, sure, man. Absolutely. No, I do not. I'm sorry, guys. As much as I love Trish, and God knows I do, as do most of us. But, yeah, I mean, that That makes zero sense to have Trish Stratus dethrone Tiffany Stratton when you're this close. Everything we just said about Jade and Naomi cashing in, see here, apply here. And that's the thing. This is Tiffany Stratton's just indoctrination tour, right? Where she goes through Charlotte. Let's see how she does there. And, you know, first she went against Becky, and Becky was who put her on the map. And then she went against Charlotte, and that didn't go so well. And now we got another legend. You know, I've taken out Nia Jax in the last woman standing match. Now I've got Trish Stratus. So it's great resume building material for Tiffany Stratus, even if she's not exactly, in my opinion, not exactly knocking it out of the park, that sort of thing. But she's good enough, and I think this just helps solidify her as a legit champion.
DP, thoughts on Trish Stratton?
I think Tiffany Stratus
You said Tiffany Stratus, so that's what we were laughing at.
Did I? Tiffany Stratus. Yeah. There's your episode title. Trish Stratton.
Listen, guys. If you can't have fun after over a decade of podcasting together, the three of us have been doing it, you know, then you should stop.
That's right.
But after 10 years, we're still having a fucking blast.
Next week, the return of Roman Rollins.
Oh,
so there you go.
He's Super Salad, so he's Romaine Reigns.
Romaine Reigns.
Or that or Roman Raisins, one of the two. Either way, he's going in a salad, potentially. I'm in the same page as that. There's no reason Trish Stratus wins this thing at this, you know, I think it's just going to be a really fun match and a opportunity for Trish Stratus to get back out there and put on a show and put on a good match for everybody. And, it's a place where Tiffany Stratton could say she's got another win over, you know, a top star in the women's division over, you know, over the past however many years. So I think it's huge. It's going to be huge for Stratton. The only thing I'd be potentially interested in is what order they put these in, because could Naomi cash in and we make, you know, Jade Cargill and Naomi the actual SummerSlam match rather than it being Cargill versus Stratton? I don't know if that's a possibility, but I don't see Stratton losing at all in the standard match with Stratton for sure. Stratus.
Yeah, Trish will not win this title. Trish won't win the title. Okay, let's put it that way. No, and I'm going to pick Tiffany to retain. I don't think there's a cash in here. I think SummerSlam's bigger with Naomi looming as a cash in as opposed to...
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Naomi defending the world title against Jade, they're not ready for that spot at SummerSlam. If you don't like what I just said, at PC Tunney, you can come on this show and we can talk about it. But that's just where I'm at. I'm not saying it wouldn't be good. I don't think they're ready for that on their own yet. I'm going to leave it there. If you guys want to react to that comment, go ahead.
I agree. It's not Jay Naomi's not a big enough match for SummerSlam. It's the first two nights SummerSlam. They're gonna do something memorable. Cash in on the very first two nights SummerSlam with, you know, an individual who people have been clamoring for to cash in. I mean, they got their wish. She is Miss Money in the Bank. Now here's the big payoff. And like I think Dan, you were saying it earlier, Naomi cashing in on Jade the second she wins the title is just a bitch move. And that's perfect for Naomi's character right now. So I don't see a cash in happening here.
That does two things, by the way, right? Like you said, it puts tons of heat on Naomi, who's just starting her first ever, for her second title reign. She has one SmackDown or two. Is it her second or third? Maybe she has two already. Just one?
One.
I know she's been champion.
At least one.
And you also get people even more behind Jade, who still gets the chase, who may not be ready to not be in chase mode yet either. So, you know, and you make her a champion if she wins and then gets cashed in on
and,
as well.
Yeah. So. And it stretches the storyline out too. Like, you know, you can make that go even longer, you know, as you build that whole story, you know, especially if you have her cash in, whether or not Jade wins or not, you know, you screwed her out of an opportunity to win the title. Now you can stretch that whole story for a little bit longer, you know, especially if you're going to bring in Bianca Belair into that story too. It can push that all the way to WrestleMania if you want to.
And there's always that possibility that sooner or later, one of the women Money in the Bank holders is going to fail to cash in. They're going to do it eventually. Naomi would be a candidate for that, I think, against Jade in a situation. I think she'll be successful, but Naomi would be somebody I'd look at and say, okay, well, who are they going to do this to put Jade over as big as possible, beat back that challenge, maybe. But I tend to agree with you guys. I think it's Naomi's title, and I can't think of anybody more deserving than her. And Tony, why don't you send Mercedes to WWE so she can try and take on Naomi for that title and get another belt and see how that goes.
I don't even, you know, I don't even want her back at this point. Like, no, I don't she either. Can, you know, when she can come back, when she gets inducted into the Hall of Fame, and that's it.
Now, would I be mad at a actual interpromotional Mercedes Monet versus Naomi match at like Survivor Series? No.
The problem
but it's
is
not
going to
happen.
They'd have to have unicorns.
She's humbled.
They'd have to have unicorns to ride in on. And since there'll never be a fucking unicorn, there will never be a WWE AEW interpromotional match.
No. All I need is booking. Bye, Tony. And we're there.
Son of a bitch. Did it again. Lawyered. Damn it. In the times like these, I like to change the subject. How about Becky Lynch defending the Intercontinental Championship against Lyra Valkyria and Bayley? I'm going to, like I said, I haven't read anybody's picks yet, as I'm still accumulating. I'm going to listen to you guys' take here. I am leaning a certain direction, but my mind isn't fully made up, and I do have to make a decision. So, my first witness I'm going to call to the stand is one DP Pizzle, also known as DPZP.
DP Cochran.
Wow. Yeah.
Not
who told you to put the title on? I didn't
tell
you
to
put the title
on. Who told you to put the lube on?
Cochran.
Who told you to put the salve? Who told you to put the balm on? I tell you to put the balm on? We're prepared to offer you a lifetime supply of coffee. Deal.
Do it. I think this match should main event the show. I think this has been the one that's been built up the most. And I know both women's titles are on the show, but to be fair, of all the matches, this one is the one that's been built up the biggest. This one has Becky Lynch and Bayley. And if you want to put even more of a...
Do you think it's going to? Is that what you're saying? Or you just think it should?
I think it should. Yeah, I don't think it's going to, because I feel like Rhea Ripley will close the show.
I was going to bet you if you... I was going to ask if you'd like to bet if you think it was going to.
$1, good sir.
One
gentleman's agreement.
Doll hair.
I mean, when you look at everything that's been built up, I mean, the two women's title matches were ones where they just chose who they wanted to wrestle. And this one is built around a big story that's going on. I feel like it should be the one closing the show. I think it's going to be the best match of the show because these all have been working together for so long. I think it's going to be fantastic. And if you want to put more of a stamp on the Intercontinental Championship, you know, or you know, these new titles, you know, this is a way to do it, as to have it close the show. But I think this is gonna be a fantastic match. It's a really hard one to pick to me, but I honestly feel like Lyra is gonna come out with the title and win it back, because I think both of the other two, Becky and Bayley, obviously are Teflon. They've been cemented where they are. They're good to go. And they can move on more into the title pictures, or the main title pictures. I think we're going to end up getting, you know, Becky and Bayley being too, you know, worked up over themselves and fighting with each other, that Lyra can kind of steal the victory. But I think this is going to be the match of the night. I do. Like, storyline wise, everything else wise, this is the one that's everything's built around. And I think it's going to be a fantastic match.
Yeah, I love everything DP there said there, even if I'm going to disagree with him.
Yeah, you no, dumb son of a bitch.
He's absolutely right, though. This is the match that's got the best build to it by far. And this match also has, you know, when you think about the Intercontinental Championship, what it's always meant, at least on the men's side, there's always been the working man's title, right? The secondary title is where the really excellent stories are. It's where the better wrestlers are at. That sort of thing. And
ooh, yeah.
Thank you. Ooh, yeah, I'm the working man's champion, cream of the crop. Yeah.
Elizabeth, get in here and suck my...
You got luck in your eyes.
In my cock in your throat.
So I...
Oh, it's always a good time to hear Macho Man. But so I do like the fact that I think this is like the one where Becky's been a good Intercontinental Champion so far. Not that Lyra wasn't, but Becky's. Yes, sir.
Do you think they ever fucked with him at a house show and played YMCA's Macho Man ever when he came out just to piss him off?
Probably.
Okay,
people run up to him in the ring, you know, they got him in a headlock. Hey, Randy, I saw Hulk with Liz in the back room. We're going home right now, bitch. Yeah. So I like everything Dan said. I think I'm going to go with Becky.
Clothesline elbow three.
Here.
Let's get out of here.
Just because I like what Becky's doing with this. Like you guys are saying, Becky and Bayley are Teflon. Lyra could use the statement victory. I don't know. I don't have, this is like you said, it's a really tough one. You can make arguments for all three. Absolutely. I'm just going to lean in the Becky camp right now. I think she's carrying the belt well, and I like her to carry the belt a little bit longer, but it could be Bayley. It could be Lyra.
I think Bayley versus Becky SummerSlam title match would make more sense, kind of thing, just because of the namesakes.
Yeah, and that's exactly what you're going to get with Bayley defending against Becky, because this title is a bucket list title, because the people that are no longer in position to hold this title, i.e. Becky Lynch, they still want it for their career. And to be able to produce this storyline right here, Lyra can still be on the back end of this, right? Yeah. But Bayley and Becky for the IC title at SummerSlam, don't think they aren't going to go out and say, you know what, Randy and Dragon, let's give you the women's IC equivalent to that. And I think Becky and Bayley at this position in their career can absolutely do that at SummerSlam.
No, you're absolutely right that, and I think you mentioned that on the last Big Five, that this is a bucket list item, especially for the women who've been around for a while.
Charlotte's
going to want that. She's going to want it and the United States Championship. Becky's going to want it, and Becky's got one. She wants the United States Championship. You got to get Bayley in there. And I know, you know, all bullshitting aside, we're talking about Mercedes Moné. You want to, if you ever wanted to dangle a carrot in front of her at one point in time, say, you haven't won these titles, Sasha. You know, that sort of thing.
Sure.
Sasha. I see what you're saying. I'm not going to flip-flop my pick because I've already given it to you. But I do like the idea about Bayley winning this thing, you know, especially if she gets the pin over Lyra. And then Becky's like, I didn't even fucking lose, you know, that sort of thing. So Lyra may be the sacrificial Valkyrie here in this whole thing. But
yeah. Poor Lyra got to be involved in a 3-month storyline with Bayley and Becky.
What a horrible thing happened to a young talent
like Lyra Valkyria.
I know. You're right, DP. I thought Tony was going, scissor me, daddy, baby, and uncle all at one time. So, you know.
Schlamazel, Haas and Pfeffer Incorporated. Or as we like to call it back in the day, scissoring.
Scissor me, daddy.
I'll change my pick now.
No, right, you can't. Yeah. I made you guys all. Why do you think I went last? You're gonna change it, Dave. You can change your picks. I haven't put anything in yet. You're gonna change DB.
I'll stay with Becky because I think
you're going to Bailey.
You get Becky Bailey at SummerSlam. One of them's got the title. If Becky has it and Bailey wins it at SummerSlam, it's just as good, probably even bigger, maybe.
Yeah, I like that. Now that I've talked myself into the whole SummerSlam thing, now? I like that. I'm in Bailey. Okay, I think, especially because Bailey.
DP picks all three. He's right, wrong, and wrong.
Can't be wrong. You can't be wrong.
You can be wrong twice. You pick everybody. You pick all three.
Heads I win, tails you lose.
No, one for you, one for me, two for you, five for me.
I think if I wouldn't have played the Macho Man stuff and we wouldn't talk Macho, because Bailey is a huge fan of the Macho Man and, you know, he was one of the greatest Intercontinental title champions of all time. So, you know, Bailey's got to have it.
He is my number one, best Intercontinental champion of all time. He's my number one, but
I never really thought about he's up there. He's up there. He's in top five.
He's got to be.
Yeah.
Well, you look at IC championship holders. How many of them held the title for a year? Him and Honky Tonk Man, excuse me. Let me add the rest of that.
Honker.
And Gunther.
The Tonkster.
Tonkster.
Gunther might be number one. That's because, I'd have to give Gunther the edge over Randy right now. But just because of the quality of the opposition. Randy was, he had some good matches, but, you know, Steamboat was the one.
Isn't Jericho like an 11-time IC champ? He's up there.
Nine.
Yeah.
Nine. Isn't he tied with the Miz? Nine. Tied him now, isn't he?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still, he was fantastic. There's a lot of good ones.
You know what happens, Tunny, when you get the number of Intercontinental Championship reigns for Chris Jericho wrong? You know what happens?
You just made the list.
There you go. There you go. Well, now that I'm on the list, once again, I like to change the subject and move on. Hopefully there will be no Festival of Friendship. I know what that's all about. Women's Tag Team Championship Fatal 4-Way. Raquel and Roxanne defending against the Kabuki Warriors. Sol Roca and Zarya. And the very interesting pairing of Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss. Dave, do we have new champions Sunday night?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, because of what we just talked about, right? Because she hasn't held them.
Charlotte and Alexa. That's right. That is a team that has really grown on a lot of people very quickly because of the whole, they remind me a lot of Team Hell No, right? When Kane and Daniel Bryan started at each other, had to have mental health therapy and all that bullshit, and then became besties and dominated, right? And it obviously has not been that extreme with Charlotte and Alexa, but there's been this begrudging respect growing between, you know, and don't get me wrong, I'm not putting elevating Alexa Bliss to Charlotte category as far as the GOATs, you know, that sort of thing. But Alexa's one of the best of all time as well. And I think, you know, underrated as can be. And I think that's kind of where this story has gone, is Charlotte has underrated Alexa as well and has now learned to really respect her for what she is. Raquel and Roxanne is an interesting pairing, but it doesn't work as well with Roxy as it does with Liv, and Roxy's got other things she's going to do. Kabuki Warriors, fascinating stuff. Sol and Zarya are on the verge of imploding, and I think that's going to be a pretty, because Zarya needs to do something different. But I like Charlotte and Alexa winning this thing and becoming new champions, and then Charlotte gets to check that box off the list. Alexa does as well, and there you go.
DP.
Charlotte Flair, one time women's tag team champion with Asuka.
Oh,
already checked that box, my friend.
Oh,
shit.
Well,
yeah.
Well, Alexa still needs it though, right? Or no, has she been the champion with Nikki Cross?
I don't know. I got all swept up when you said it because I wanted it to happen, but I think I'm going to go with what I had in my head. Go ahead, DP.
What'd you have in your head?
Well, I'll tell you after, Dan. I might change it.
Oh, motherfucker.
All right, I'll go next. I think they're going to retain.
Yeah.
Because here's why. Because I don't think you put Roxanne in that spot just to lose right away. Because I don't think Liv's ready to come back. So
Not for like 6 months, probably.
Yeah.
I could just see this being a one-on-one match at SummerSlam between Roxanne, Raquel, and Alexa and Charlotte. Like, somehow Alexa and Charlotte get screwed out of the titles. Here. I don't know how, but that would be a really big match at SummerSlam. Because who are they going to defend the titles against? Otherwise, like, I could see Charlotte Flair and Alexa against the Kabuki Warriors would be huge at SummerSlam too, right? Like, oh man, I don't know.
You're thinking we're going to end up getting a women's tag team title match at SummerSlam. That may not even happen.
I think we will. There's two nights. It's usually the IC and US titles that get pushed back to Friday night SummerSlam.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, same thing with Alexa Bliss, too. The multiple-time women's tag team champion. Once with Asuka as well. So look at that. How about that? Nikki Cross. So yeah, well, they both have something in common there.
We just eliminated Asuka from conversation because her and Kyrie are like, what, 3-4-time champions?
I think they're going to retain and end up defending against Charlotte and Alexa at SummerSlam.
I think maybe. Yeah. They kind of threw them together, and the whole thing with Liv Morgan too kind of gives it a reason why they should hold on to the titles and stuff, because, they're the whole Judgment Day thing going on. But Liv Morgan's just, like you said, probably not ready to come back anytime soon. It's going to be, like you said, at least 6 months, rehabbing the shoulder injury. So I don't know if it makes sense for them to hold on to it or just have Roxanne screw it up and they go on their own and do their own thing. I think you give it to Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss have kind of been the hot ticket item with the tag team division. And
I don't know who to pick.
Kind of have got some traction a little bit and have a dynamic that can make a lot of sense.
Are you going Charlotte and Alexa?
I'm going Charlotte and Alexa. I think I like that bit. I think I like the Kabuki Warriors coming back together because, like we've talked about, the tag team division on the women's side needs some tag teams that are really fucking good or give me a reason to watch. Mm-hmm. And the Kabuki Warriors are fantastic. Asuka's obviously phenomenal in the ring and Kairi Sane's great. And I think Charlotte and Alexa having the titles could be a lot of fun. Like you said, the Team Hell No thing is a great reference to like how they jive together and leave even for a little while. Like they got to breathe some life into this division, and Raquel and Roxanne holding the titles ain't going to do it.
All right, so I got it.
Give me those two to hold on to it at least for a little bit. And I like the idea of what they're doing. I'm sorry, Tony. I know I keep jumping on you here.
No, you're good.
They're we talked about this before, like to have the teams from different brands here, because that's what this women's tag team division is the titles are on all the brands. Having the representation from the different brands is a great thing. And they need to keep doing that, whether or not every title defense has to have this, but give us these different tag teams from the different divisions too. Like, let me see more of that and make it better. So yeah, I'm on board with Dave here. Flair and Bliss. Titles.
I'm back.
Tony, before you go, I was going to say, if Seoul didn't have the Women's North American Championship, just listen to what Dan said. I would think about putting the belts on Seoul and Zarya just to move those titles to NXT for a little bit.
No, you got SummerSlam coming up.
It's not happening.
You have SummerSlam coming up. So here's what's going to happen. Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss, the pinfall will be over Seoul or Zarya, right? And then Roxanne and Raquel and the Kabuki Warriors can both say, well, we didn't get pinned. Okay, well, you can have a number one contender match, Kabuki Warriors versus Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss at SummerSlam for the titles. That's the biggest tag team title match you can have at SummerSlam, period.
Yeah, I can't think of anybody else you'd...
Right now, because Kabuki Warriors are established, and then Charlotte and Alexa are Hall of Fame singles competitors together.
The only other thing you could do there that would maybe have a biggest impact, it would not be as good a match.
Triple threat?
No. The Bella Twins reunite. If they got Brie back for SummerSlam, teamed her up with Nikki to go against Charlotte and Alexa, That would be a big.
I think Nikki's set deal. I think Nikki's set to fight for that title at Clash. I think she's winning that. Yeah, I don't know what she does at SummerSlam, but we'll see. It should be interesting. It's fun. This is such a DP and I talked about this before you came on. Like, this is an awesome fucking card for WWE Evolution. I mean, like,
it is absolutely
really fucking
stacked.
Good. Yeah, I mean, this has been very impressive.
Yeah. And we haven't got to the end yet. And there's at least, there's not a stinker of a match on here.
No. And what I think is the main event is Io Sky defending against Rhea Ripley. I think Rhea Ripley wins here. I think Rhea Ripley holds the title till WrestleMania. Whether or not there's someone there that would serve them well to get over on Rhea, we'll find out between now and then. But like, this is the time where Rhea takes it and she carries you SummerSlam, Survivor Series, Rumble, Mania, and everything in between.
Yeah. If do you want me to go, Dan, or you want to go?
Go for it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you, man.
Ready golf.
I think it's
ready,
Rhea.
Ready golf here, Dave. Ready golf. You get up to the tee box. I think, you ready to go? You go. I'm always ready to go, so I always go first. But go ahead. When we golf.
I think it's Rhea's time. I think the belt comes home to mommy at this. Io Sky's been a tremendous champion. And, you know, we talk a lot about organic pushes and things like that. And Io Sky got that organic push and rode it from a month out from WrestleMania all the way to today, to the point that you can still make the argument that she could get the win over Rhea Ripley. But I don't think so. I think it's time to get that belt back on Rhea. There's other things Io can do. You know, if she wins if Io Sky wins some sort of tournament or battle royal or something, and she challenges Julia for the United States Championship, you get Julia versus Io Sky at like Clash or SummerSlam. You going to complain about that? Because I'm sure as shit not going to. So I think that it's Rhea, because I do like, and I kind of gave it away earlier, I do like the idea of Rhea Ripley versus Stephanie Vaquer at SummerSlam for the championship. So yeah, I'm with you. I got Rhea winning. Io's been this championship reign has exceeded anybody's expectations for. She was like, why are they putting her in here? Remember when she beat Rhea? What the fuck just happened? To the point that she won that match at the women's match of the year so far. The best women's match I've seen all year. That triple threat at WrestleMania. And I don't think it's going to get beaten. Maybe something here does it. But Io's been great, but I agree with you. I think this is Rhea's time.
I don't know what you do with this match or with this title at SummerSlam. What do you do with this title at SummerSlam? Do you bring this one back? Do you have Io and Rhea Ripley again at SummerSlam? Who's waiting in the wings for Rhea Ripley to challenge at SummerSlam? Unless Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss don't win the tag titles and they put Charlotte and Rhea Ripley again? That's like, what do you do? What do you do with that?
With a less than 3 week build.
Well,
This is a rematch, I think.
This has got to be a rematch.
Yeah, and that's fine.
That's what I'm thinking too.
They could do a ladder match for this title as a blow off, right?
Yeah, I think they're good. That's exactly where I think they're going. Maybe not a ladder match, but I think they're going with a rematch.
No,
I think they have
you.
To.
No, fuck you. It's a ladder match. I already said it. Asshole.
Shit.
Man. Jesus Christ. Okay, so you know, Dave's match, here. Dave's here. We don't need you today. I'm just kidding.
Fucking shit.
There he goes. He goes to shit. I would have done this. I would have done that an hour ago. What do you mean?
Like, I don't have to call me an hour ago. I could have stayed at the bar.
Yeah.
I think we're getting a rematch between these two at SummerSlam, however that happens. And so that's, I think Io Sky is going to win this.
Oh, okay.
By hook or by crook, I think it's Rhea Ripley's not winning the title. I should put it that way, I guess.
Well,
right?
Whether it's a
DQ or something.
Who wins the match? I can't need you to pick a winner. That's what we do. That's what we do at the chair shot.
This is what we do. Oh,
this is what DJ
counts.
Does
this is official.
Too. DJ's like, well, the person won't lose their title. I'm like, okay, then who the fuck wins? I have to put a winner 20. In. The whole point of this is so we continue to have more wins than losses.
Honey, DJ is too busy drinking too much to podcast and reading fake Superman reviews. So you know.
Ouch, man.
This is what I'm not picking today.
D DP's drinking.
This was Thursday. I'd be picking.
So what's your winner? Who wins?
I'll take EO. I'll take EO. EO wins this. EO wins this thing. EO wins. EO retains. I think we get the rematch. I think Rhea Ripley wins it at SummerSlam. And then we go from there. But I think EO carries this thing because I just don't see where it goes anywhere else from to SummerSlam if Rhea wins it. I guess maybe it could be a rematch and then Rhea retains at SummerSlam too. But I think you give EO Sky the win here because I think it's bigger for her to get at least a win. And then they come back and Rhea's like, I want another shot, and gets it. It's a hard one to pick because obviously both of these two women are phenomenal. But I do agree that Rhea Ripley having the title pushing through all the way to WrestleMania or whatever, because that's the big thing. Rhea Ripley, like PC Tunney said at the beginning, is the best in the world right now, and
at what she does,
has to carry this thing through. So we gotta have it. We gotta have Rhea Ripley hold the title here. But I don't think it's till SummerSlam. I think EO wins. I think we give her a win here.
You know, at some point we got to get that one-on-one Rhea Ripley Bianca Belair match, right? And that's got to happen at some point. I don't know when, but maybe Survivor. That is WrestleMania this year.
Survivor Series, maybe. That could be like the main event of Survivor Series.
It could be. If she's ready, it could be SummerSlam too. It could be a SummerSlam match.
What do you think about? I think we've covered this part of it enough. We can get back to the Evolution in Total Thought, like in a little bit. But Dave, we were talking earlier about. Do we see Civil War Games too? When does Roman come back? Like, you have enough on each side. You have Solo, you have JC Mateo, you have I think Tama Tonga's on his way back, right? Or is he?
Yeah,
out
I'm not sure.
A lot
he should
longer?
Be back by November.
Tonga Loa.
No, I don't know.
Tonga Loa. Tonga Loa's
back.
You got Taller
Tama Tonga.
Taller Tonga.
Taller Tonga.
Yeah. And then on the other side, you got Jacob, you got Jimmy, you got Jay. Roman, and then bring in another. There's like 47 fucking Usos out there. Okay, Us, like get me one of them.
You know, I was listening to Sam Roberts. Dude. Yeah.
There's more.
Listening to Sam Roberts the other day, and he was talking about this exact issue. And when does Roman come back, and what does Roman do when he comes back?
Guess how many Usos I saw.
Guess how many boobs I saw. 15. 15.
Oh, I got that tin wrong. 15.
How many dicks did you suck? 37. What?
What? Hold on, I'm gonna need a minute.
Yeah. Go back and watch Clerks, Tony. You'll.
No,
understand.
I know exactly what you were talking about. Doesn't he say at some point, hold on, I'm going to need a minute.
37?
Yeah.
Was that 36 or 36? Sam was talking about Roman coming back as well in this context, and how it wouldn't make a lot of sense for him to jump in to this whole thing because no one's challenging him for the Ulafala. There's no OTC championship or ceremonial title on the line. So really, what does he gain from jumping into this situation? And I would say Sam's probably got some merit to that argument because it's like, really? Because you got to figure Roman, if he's coming back, it could be to face Cena if Cena's still the champion, which I don't think he will be. But you got to figure, you know, if we're going to get maybe a double turn at SummerSlam, like a lot of us are speculating, you know, you could end up with this weird dynamic, heel Cody versus face Roman somewhere down the line, which would be really interesting. I don't know. I mean, you're going to that War Games match makes sense, you know, but it could be 4-on-4. But I guess you're saying it has to be 5-on-5. Maybe if they get Tama back, there's your five.
Sammy. Sammy can always be the fifth member for the other side, too.
Or like do something crazy like turn Cross babyface. You know, everybody's wanting Karrion Cross now. Throw him into this fucking mix. But I don't know where he fits in. Can't do Punk again unless. Good God. Could you imagine if like Cody turn?
No, there's more family. There's legitimately more family out there ready to go. Like
there is.
Just keep like when I said there's 47 more Usos out there, there's more. Roman has 7 kids. Rikishi had 9 kids. We're talking Jimmy and Jay's kids. We're talking kids from people I'm not even mentioning from back in the day, too, right? Like, just, I mean, you talk about, like, 100 men versus one gorilla. Like, how about just the Uso clan?
Oh, fuck. They're going to bring back Brock Lesnar for this, aren't they?
So, an interesting thing, I think, for Roman would be, and WrestleVotes has it out there, like, SummerSlam, Roman Reigns will be in, whether it's before or at, he'll be there. That OTC1 thing is out there, which makes me think he could be back in the family thing. But at the same time, I did ask Dan earlier in the show, Dave, does Roman face Cena at any point? And the coolest thing that could happen to end SummerSlam, because you know we already know the last match of Night 2 of SummerSlam is Cena and Cody, right? And when the whole audience is disappointed that Cody Rhodes didn't beat John Cena, because that's what they're hoping for. What they're probably going to get is the whole audience is going to be thrilled that John Cena beat Cody, because that's just the way wrestling fans are. But if they get what they want, everybody's just, the air is let out of the room when Cody isn't successful against John. How do we close the show after that match ends? Well, we hit Roman's music and he stands on the ramp. And now we know that John Cena's next title defense is against Roman Reigns.
Now, you know, John Cena, your next title defense will be your last, that sort of thing. But it's either that or.
And listen to this.
Yeah,
here's how you take the belt off of John. Seth Rollins does to Roman Reigns what he did when he was fighting Brock Lesnar for a second time while he's fighting John Cena, and it's the second heist of the century.
It's either that or what I'm increasingly thinking.
Cody.
SummerSlam, at the end, Rock comes out. Everybody thinks here's the Rock. Here we're finally getting this payoff with the Rock and John Cena, and it's Cody who has sold his soul to the Rock. They betray John Cena, and he takes the title, leaves with Dwayne, and everybody's like, "What the fuck just happened?" But it's going to be an epic moment. I'm starting to lean more into the direction of that actually happening, because so that's the easiest way to get John back to being a babyface.
All right, and if that happens, that means John's last match in December at Attitude of Aggression PLE in Boston is against The Rock.
Do it.
Do you know what I mean, though?
Would anybody Three times a matey?
Working Penub in all the wrong paces. Working Penub.
His last match will be in Boston, basically his hometown. Him beating The Rock in his final match, because I don't think John in his last match is going out on his back. As old school.
Well, not
as
against
he is.
The Rock, because it wouldn't make. He's putting The Rock over.
Doesn't matter. Yeah, I think John beating The Rock in Boston in his final match to win that rivalry all these years later is the perfect way to end his career. If you really think about it, you can't end it any better than that.
Is it The Rock's last match, too?
No. I don't think so. I mean, they're going to do him and Roman. You know, I mean, if Cody's the champ
at some point, they do.
And Roman's chasing Cody with The Rock as his backing. Oh, that story's got legs for 6-8 months a year.
Hang on a minute.
Dan's brain hurts.
The Rock. Oh, it just got worse. I had a bad thought. What if The Rock is the one to beat John Cena to take the title from him, and The Rock holds the title at the end of December up until WrestleMania to wrestle? Oh, fuck me.
Wow.
Yeah.
I
felt bad about that one.
No, that's a good one. It's just tough because you got to get John's got last match. He's got to be a babyface. He can't do the last match as a heel.
I guess
he could. People are cheering for him anyway. But
honestly, like, what if he doesn't lose
and retire and leaves, ruins wrestling, leaves as the last real champion?
I mean, like,
can introduce a new title.
Hey, you know what, Rick? Take your big gold belt and go to Hollywood. We'll just fucking make another one. You know, no one's gonna care in 3 months because they're wrestling fans. They all have fucking selective amnesia,
dude. And if you listen to the dirtiest of sheets, if you listen to the dirtiest of sheets out there that WWE is deliberately counter programming against AEW, which I think is complete bullshit.
Oh my God.
John leaves as champion and just shows up in the crowd with the championship at like AEW's next pay per view and ruins that fucking company. If he buys a ticket, shows up with the just holds it up. Oh my God, the IWC would just melt down. It'd be beautiful.
Dave, there's never going to be any AEW-WWE crossover, ever.
This is not a crossover. This is an invasion.
That's an invasion. No, why? Okay, we got it. I can't. Okay. All right.
That's game, right?
I can't. Yeah, that's
booking by Unger.
Game blouses.
Did you hear that one, Tony?
Yeah, I heard you gimmick infringement.
I stole your gimmick.
I stole it from George Costanza, and he stole it from Menon, so it's all good. And they probably stole it from Steve Allen, because everybody steals Elvis.
This is anyone but Steve Allen.
Yeah?
You're stealing my bit.
Exactly. See what I'm talking about? Thanks, Krusty. Krusty son of a bitch. That's it this week. I did want to get into I did have a last call planned, but we can just real quick. I mean, we talked about the Bucks last week, DP, but the Brewers, for the first time ever, sweep the Dodgers in Milwaukee. The Brewers are on fire. The Brewers probably have the best first three in their starting pitching rotation in all of baseball with the emergence of the Miz, the all-star known as Freddy Peralta, and B-Woo coming back, throwing six innings, and striking out eight and no walks, getting a dub. And then you put Jose Quintana and Quentin Priester behind them, who together have 13 wins and both have ERAs under four. And a team that's getting hot with the bats. They hit the ball, they get on base, they can run, they play defense, they have pitching. Trevor McGill got added to the All-Star team. He saved 21 out of 24 games. And now I'm worried even more than I was against the Dodgers because the lowly Washington Nationals come into town as we record today on Friday. Hopefully the Brewers, at the very least, just win the three-game series. But DP, the Brewers, I mean, I don't think I've ever had this feeling about the Brewers where I feel like they're legitimate World Series contenders this year if they stay healthy.
Kind of crazy. I mean, sweeping the Dodgers was huge. I figured they have good opportunity to beat them or whatever, but to sweep them was crazy. To close out the third game with a run in the ninth, striking out the side in the top of the 10th, and then hitting the game-winning base hit, Contreras. Churio, phenomenal, player.
Churios? Who had Churios?
Yeah, we got Churios. If he's on the fucking box of them, man.
They gave him an $80 million
Jackson
contract.
Jackson Churios.
They gave him an $80 million contract before last season, before he ever played a major league inning. This is what they need
He's
to do.
Delivering
with, this is what they need to do with Mizorowski right now is have him here. Here's a 5-year, $100 million
That's
extension.
That's what I'm worried about.
Would you like this? Here you go. Because it's the only
we
way you're
keep
keeping him. Because
That's
Zach Tanasio doesn't spend money. And it's a miracle the Brewers have
exactly.
been. They have the third best record in baseball over the last decade in the smallest market.
Yeah. It's absurd, and that's what I'm waiting for. Is who are we gonna get for Mizorowski? Because we're just gonna get prospects because we don't keep our guys, we don't pay for them or whatever. But if we got them this season, and right now this is the time to strike. And,
well, we got them for a few seasons, but
ridiculously. Well, yeah, but they might trade. I mean, I just expect them to be traded and whatever because that's what we do. We don't keep them.
Yeah, well, they paid Yelich, and I think they'll pay this kid.
Yeah, they should. I mean, just ridiculous.
Maybe
he's got the height. He's got everything. Yeah. And yeah, top five defense, and the bats are hitting. They're on fire there, and the pitching is phenomenal. They've got the top. Woodruff back is huge, and yeah, these guys are just killing it. And it's scary. After that weekend with them with the Dodgers, and I'm like, shit, they got a legit opportunity here. I mean, they've been a playoff contender here for a while, but oh man, it would just be fantastic to see them get back to the World Series. That would be insane.
Dave, any thoughts on the Milwaukee Brewers? I know you're not a You're always in tune with all sports. Like, you pretty much are paying attention to everything. What do you think
about the Brewers?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you sweep the Dodgers, you got to be in the mix. Got to be in the conversation. I mean, they're 53-40 right now. Yeah, I mean, I'm pulling for you guys. Obviously, my Nats aren't going anywhere. You know, if we win one for Milwaukee, I'd be like, that's cool. That's a good. I was telling Pat last week on Four Corners, the team I think we may have given up on too early is the Baltimore Orioles, because they've actually been playing a lot better since they got rid of Hyde as their manager, which you thought, getting rid of the manager won't make much of a difference. Actually, it really did.
Oh, yeah.
And they just swept a doubleheader from the Mets, who are no slouches. They probably dug themselves too big of a hole to climb out of. And I still think the Detroit Tigers are the team to really watch in the AL. But, yeah, if you're an AL team, you do not want the Orioles probably getting in the playoffs, because they would have to go through hell and high water to get there. And speaking from experience, I saw what the Nats did in 2019, starting 19-31, and rode that all the way to a championship at the expense of your Brewers.
Yep.
At least one game. Mm-hmm. I think. But Milwaukee looks really strong. No discernible weaknesses. The National League looks a little bit more wide open than, I mean, the AL really looks like Detroit heavy and then everybody else sort of thing.
Like, with the Dodgers on a 6-game losing streak, it all seems more attainable getting to the World Series from that side of the bracket. Like, the Dodgers, the lineup is ridiculous. Like, okay, so say somehow you get Shohei Ohtani out. Well, next is Mookie Betts. And then it's the catcher who's batting like 350. And then it's Freddie Freeman. And the five guys behind them aren't much worse, like Teoscar Hernandez and guys like that. So it's crazy.
They're the defending champs for a reason. You get a sweep of the Dodgers, you should feel really good about yourself and where you are in the whole pecking order. And like you're saying, if the Dodgers aren't, you know, we're all thinking, oh, they're going to break the record for wins with this lineup that they've got. That's not going to happen. So they're going to have to scratch and claw a little bit, but you still look at the NL and say, well, it is the Dodgers. And then everybody else is clawing and scratching to kind of get that second position. And then you got to beat them in the playoffs. And we're not that far off from that happening now.
You talk about that with defense and pitching aside or whatever, you still have to be able to hit the ball. And when it comes to getting the bats working, like when you have talent up and down the card like that, you know, and all the way through the nine, you know, you get a couple of guys that are hitting the ball, you're probably okay, you know. And when you got guys on the Dodgers roster that, you know, all can hit the ball, you know, you need a few of them working are going to be better off than, you know, a smaller team like, you know, a smaller market team like the Brewers, who kind of need everybody to be hitting the ball to be able to make it work. So that's where, you know, you get that advantage of having that higher payroll and having a team like the Dodgers who can have that kind of talent on their team. So it's definitely harder to beat them, especially when it comes playoff time, when you got to have everything working for you to get to where you want to get.
Well, we're going to keep our eyes out. We do have the All-Star weekend coming up, and boy, Cal Raleigh, the big dumper catcher in Seattle, is having a historic season. So keep paying attention to him. Just epic. We are chasing the Cubs, so that's another good team in the NL. But yeah, don't forget to continue to listen to Four Corners Podcast every Tuesday morning. I may show up there once in a while. Who knows? Every once in a while, I just say, hi, what's going on, guys? They bring me in. Sometimes they just mention me and laugh at me and don't let me talk before Bandwagon Nerds. But that's fine, too. No big deal, Dave. I don't mind.
You shouldn't. you should be very comfortable in your own skin.
All right, guys, let's get out of here. Dave, thanks for coming on today. Really appreciate it. Big weekend of wrestling coming up here. Let everybody know where they can find you and the brand new things happening over at attitudeofaggression.com.
Yeah, you can find me on X and Blue Sky at Attitude Ag. That is at Attitude AGG. Go to the website, attitudeofaggression.com. Podcast episodes are there. Like Tony's saying, we have branched out a little bit. It's not just wrestling. We are doing coverage of UAPs and UFOs, which is virtually impossible to keep track of on a daily basis right now, because it just, you know, it just does what it's going to do. Am I still? Oh, there I am. Okay. I got some weird error message. Yeah, so the UFOs and UAPs, yeah, that just changes every day. We're also doing, as Tony knows, covering Game of Thrones final season in Game Gone Wrong. So we've got that going on. But yeah, that's the big things happening at Attitude of Aggression. Just plugging along, man.
Are you doing anything tomorrow special? Looking forward to anything you're doing tomorrow? No.
We're all of us are going to see a certain movie by Mr. Gunn that, you know, and you will hear real,
Did you say that sounds
real
super?
Reviews. It sounds super. You will hear super. Real reviews from people who actually watched the movie come this Sunday on Bandwagon Nerds. So,
DP, if you would like to discuss Superman with us and then leave, we're probably going to do it right away, and you know when we start Sunday.
Ooh. I am super interested.
There you go. All right. Make sure you're following Dave at Attitude Egg there.
Dan, I hope you can show up.
Oh.
See what I did there?
Got it. Martha.
Tony gets it.
Martha.
Not Martha.
How did you say that name?
Martha fucker. Go ahead, DP. Tell everybody where they can find you in the shoe.
Find me all over the worldwide social media interwebs. And it's me, DPP. And follow this show at Podcast DWI on that X or Facebook.com/DWI Podcast.
There you go. We did it again. DWI 483. Don't drink and drive. Drink a podcast. ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Check it out. Follow me at PC Tunny. And continue to listen to everything ChairShot Radio Network on all your favorite streaming platforms. Sports.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply. Available in app only.